There's no mistaking what this, in fact, really is. It's a massive voice of protest against the rule of the Shah.
Good evening. Now we know the United States has passed the word to the Shah of Iran. It's time for him to leave his country.
The political initiative now lies totally with the Ayatollah. Now that he's back, he'll very soon announce the establishment of a government of his own.
There might have been tears in the eyes of the Shah as he left, took to the streets of the capital in their thousands to celebrate the departure of the man they have hated for so long.
Alain Keller. I was born in France, Clermont-Ferrand, and I've been a photographer, I guess, for the past 40 years. I've been freelancing, then I work for French news agency Sigma, and this is when I was with Sigma agency that I went to Iran during the revolution. And then after I work for another agency, and then I freelance, and now I'm affiliated with another agency called MYOP, M-Y-O-P, which is based in Paris. I've been working for different news magazines. I've been covering a lot of events. When I was with Sigma, besides the Iranian Revolution, I was in Ethiopia at the end of the drought. I covered a few catastrophes like earthquakes. I covered the Middle East, Israel, Palestine. I was in 1982 during the war. I was in Lebanon also. I covered the civil war in Central America, mainly El Salvador, Guatemala also. I work intensely in Latin America. Well, I've been doing a lot of different things. When I was young, I decided to leave France and to travel around the world. It was in 1968, so I worked for a year. And with the money I had, I bought a couple of cameras, a backpack. I took a train to Istanbul, and then I traveled. And at the time, I traveled across Iran. I remember staying in Tehran and covering an earthquake at the same time. I was, I don't remember how I got there, but I got there. And that was, let's say, my first real contact with what we call news photography. This is the this is before I show you all the pictures. This is an earthquake that occurred in 1977, I believe. I flew there with the army. They took the press, but they took us a couple of days later, maybe. Then that was it. That was it until the trouble started during the Shah era. And then I did like a few trips between, what was that, 77 and 78, right? 78, I was there in Tehran. I went to, I think, Behesht-e-Zahra Cemetery, where he was flown in with an helicopter. And there, it was incredible, an incredible amount of people. It was very difficult to work because of that. I went to Tehran right after the Black Friday, where the army shot demonstrators, and I think a lot of people were killed. So I took the first flight I could take. When we arrived in Tehran, it was curfew at the airport. So we could manage to take a taxi. And I remember very well these funny things, like the taxi driver told Abbas to tell us that if the army is shooting, we just should lower our head, not to be reached by the bullets. That was very funny. Lower your head, bow your head, so you won't be shot. I stayed a few days there, and it was a very strange feeling because of the situation, which we could feel was, of course, extremely tense. Most of the French journalists would stay at the Park Hotel when the American press would go to the Hilton. So at the Park Hotel, we had taxi drivers that we would take for, let's say, a day, people that were very, very nice, and they would take care of us also. So we would, in the morning, decide where we wanted to go. And of course, we were looking for demonstrations. And usually, the demonstrations started very small, like a few people that would meet in a place, in an unexpected place. So we had to be lucky to meet them. And it would grow very fast. And then people would start shouting slogans against the Shah. And then we would take pictures. And then the army would come. Everyone would go away. And we would go away also, because the army was not too friendly with the journalists, with the photographers. So every day it was a little bit the same thing. I remember one day, as we arrived towards the beginning of a demonstration, a man in the crowd jumped towards me and hit me in the face. My glasses fell off, and the taxi driver started yelling, "But he's French. Then the man that had hit me took back my glasses. He gave me back the glasses and he apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were Americans." At the time, Khomeini was safe in France, and the people, when they knew we were French journalists, were extremely nice to us. A lot of Americans would sometimes they would pretend that they were French, at least when they spoke French, so it was easy for them to work. Neuf-le-Château was about, 30 kilometers from Paris. And when you would go there, a place where a lot of people would come. A lot of Iranian in exile would be there. A lot of religious people would be there. And if I remember, the Ayatollah, when you were requesting an interview, he was in a tent. I'm not sure, but I think in a garden, in the garden of a house, And so it was very easy, and you could feel as you were arriving in this particular place that you were not, you had the feeling that you were not in France anymore, but you were in a foreign country. Of course, people are very extremely nice to us, and they would do whatever they could do to help us to get the interview with the Ayatollah, which was, of course, very busy because the entire world was trying to interview him. So one day I went there with Sigma, with a woman journalist, and she was asked to cover her head, I remember, when we were there, and then we could see the Ayatollah. It was not very difficult. If I remember also, there were, of course, security measures before entering the compound, but all that was very easy, in a way. Strangely, very, very, very easy. But then we would go to the Park Hotel. We would exchange information there. The Park Hotel, if I remember well, was not too far from the French embassy, and that was it. I was also connected with the Agence France-Presse, where we would go. We would get some information sometimes. You see, at the time, we didn't have cell phone. The telephone was very poor. And just going there, we would know that, you know, there is a press conference of such minister, of someone in the opposition, and blah, blah, blah. And that's how we could manage to move around and choose places to go. I think the kindness of the people. At that time, the people were very happy to see the foreign press because they realized suddenly that the world was speaking about their fight. So they were very helpful to us and very nice, and this is really something I remember well. Sometimes it would be a little bit oppressing in the sense that the crowd, when they wanted to say something, they would surround you and they would shout at you, but they didn't shoot, they were not shouting at you, they were shouting at the regime, and they were so happy to find us as the foreign press that they that it was a little bit tense, but we knew that we didn't risk anything because the people just wanted to express their feeling of unhappiness with the regime of the Shah and with their desire to live in with a different regime, their desire to get rid of the system.
Thank you.
It was very, it was like maybe 10 days. I think it was very, if I remember, very short. The Shah left, I believe, to Morocco. And then the situation was, I would say, very quiet. We would go to the places where the Ayatollah Khomeini was staying. If I remember, it was a school or something like that, I'm not sure. And then the morning, the woman would pay him, would come and just to see him. And in the afternoon, the men would be there. So we would spend most of the time going there. The Ayatollah Khomeini made some press conferences also. We would focus mainly on him and on the life around the place where he was staying. The city was extremely quiet until I believe some soldiers started rebelling in an army barracks, and that was really the I would say the beginning of the revolution. Officially, the Shah left to come back, but everybody knew that he was not going to come back. But the regime was still in place with the same prime minister. Then suddenly, in 2 days, everything changed. And the people went to the streets and they took guns and they started fighting against the army. And after 1 or 2 days, it was very fast, the revolution was finished. The power had really changed hands, and it was in the hands of Khomeini and of all the religious people. And then we were in a very different country somehow. The same country, but we figured out that the revolution changed completely the course of history of the country. At that time, we felt that the regime of the Shah was a very strong regime, with the SAVAK, with the secret police, and it was a very repressive regime. So we figured out this new regime, there will be some freedom, some genuine freedom in Iran. And then it was like that at the very beginning. We could see that most of the people, of course, were very happy. This time, probably demonstration, but supporting the regime. This is probably my favorite picture. It is, again, the woman coming to see Khomeini. And you see there is a lot of happening, a lot of things happening here between the woman that has this kind of nervous breakdown and this one calling for help and the other one, everybody's doing something else. I really like this picture. This is people around a statue, a demolished statue of the Shah. And then I left Iran maybe 10 days after the change of regime, and I went back to Paris with the first commercial flight, which I remember was an Air France flight. I went back another time to Iran in 2002, but I didn't stay very long. I meant to work in Iran, but in the meantime, the NATO troops attacked the Talibans in Afghanistan, so I decided to go across the border and go to Afghanistan. So it means I stayed maybe 5 days in Iran, and then a couple of days as I went back. That was the last time, which is, 11 years ago.
After those years, at 2002 when you came back to Iran, you have to see a lot of differences.
Not really, because I didn't stay long enough to see the differences. I was just in Tehran. And in Tehran, it's a big city, you still had the traffic jam. I couldn't really see a difference. I guess if I had been in the country, it would have been more visible, and if I had spent more time also. But I stayed too little to really see a difference. A difference you can see once you start getting deeper into the society, when you start really working on the country, which was the original idea. I wanted to work on the country and travel and go into different places and photograph and meet the people and listen to what they have to say. But because I went to Afghanistan, I didn't do it. Staying a few days in Tehran was was very fast, and pretending that I had seen the situation in Iran would have been wrong because of my short stay. I want to see how the Iranians live today, but I don't want to stay into big cities, because it is always very difficult to work in big cities, and a big city looked like any other big city in the world. I want to go in the countryside. I want to go into smaller places where generally journalists don't have time to go, and I want to spend time there, and I want to travel with buses if I can, and you know, I want to go in many different parts of the country to see, to feel, to breathe what really is the spirit of the country, and not again stay in big cities, in bigger cities. All my life, photography helped me to get close to the people. The most important thing for me in the world is the people. So I photograph the people, and with photography sometimes you can get very near. Well, you can, I mean, it can be very difficult also. Now it's getting more harder. But it's, photography was a link between my wishes as a human being to meet as many people as I could and to see the way they were living, good or bad, peace or war, catastrophe or everything fine. So this is, well, what? The photography I'm interested in is what we call maybe humanistic photography.